Hello, my beautiful bestie. How are we doing today?
Hello, Melissa Rose. I am elated again just to see. I get so much of you.
I know. This, what a week.
What a week. What a weekend. We got to see each other. Sans norovirus.
Sans norovirus. We had none of it. None of it happened. Knock on wood. Cross our fingers. Hope to not die.
Hope to be alive.
Yeah, it was amazing. It checked literally all the boxes.
I was listening back to our episode that dropped today of like, we need our cup filled, our sparkly pink cup. Our sparkly pink cup was overflowing.
Okay, so high level, we'll share like a little bit what we did. So as we've kind of been like teasing at, as if we're Kim K and you guys are really just at the edge of your seat.
And our mantra for the day was, we're not Kim K, but anyway.
Correct. Literally was on the deck. We are ramping up for a few launches, some merch, some, you know, as you all have seen, we've kind of like subtly started our rebrand a little bit, but we have a lot of big, fun, exciting stuff coming up. And one of the boxes that we had to check for that was a fun little photo shoot.
So great.
So it was so incredibly fun. It was the first time we did anything like official like that for the pod. So we kicked off with that. And then we had the husbands and the children get all together at your house. And that was amazing.
It was so great.
We had a little sleepover so then we could actually hang out, the four of us, circa, you know, bringing it back to the 2010, 2013, 2016 days.
Yeah, that's all we knew. That's all we knew. It feels so familiar when we get to do that. And it's just the core four.
Literally, like, just the way I was just laying on your guys' couch as if I lived there. And just, like, you know, I also the older we get, I just, like, it is so comical to me how similar Ryan and I are and how similar you and Mike are. And I just feel like we were just sitting there just like mirroring each other.
So true.
All four of us, like just the interactions. Oh, and
but yeah, great.
it was literally amazing. And just filling up those cups. I went on a tangent. I don't remember why we were talking about this.
I'm just so grateful. So me grateful too. And you know, you find yourself family friends who you can really move through the peaks and the valleys with and just be so content not needing to be anywhere else but on the couch together, eating dinner on the floor at 9 p.m., yep. Just like in heaven because we're able to be together. It's amazing. It really is.
It was really so amazing. Fun. It was perfect. So it was a great little weekend. And I'm going to see you again. Even if it's for a short minute.
Can't wait. Like
admin time.
Yes.
Later this week. And yeah, just so many fun things.
So many fun things. And we're just moving and grooving. Like, I truly feel like we're unstoppable these days.
We really are. Except for the fact that we like gave our husbands the ick when they were going through our photo.
Yeah. Ryan got so excited. It was so adorable. He like hooked the camera up to the TV and like got the images on, and he's like, oh, so you guys are how old?
Literally.
What are you doing?
No, I don't want to blow past that. Like, honestly, Ryan, we really need to carve out space to like acknowledge what amazing, like a supportive king he is.
The
way in which he came home and he was like, how was it? And not just asking, like, he wanted to see the photos before we had even asked to see them.
Exactly.
And he's plugging it into the TV and he's popping it up there. He's like, literally, when I tell you he's going picture by picture of a 2-hour photo shoot, like, what do you guys think about this one? Okay. And then texting like the
number,
SKU number, whatever it is.
So cute.
Like, just so incredibly supportive.
I know.
And Mike as well, obviously.
Yes.
But Ryan, we have to tip our hat to him. He did kick that off. And so it was so cute. But yeah, there were points where they were like,
what?
It was sobering. Yeah, it was sober.
For sure. And that's important. Yeah. We need that. We need the sober pump back because totally, we're going to be who we are. But like, you know, you only need a few good photos out of 2,000.
You only need a few good. I can't unhear Ryan saying, I don't really know who wants to see photos of two 35-year-old women dancing around. And I was like, well, yeah, when you put it that way, me either.
Oh, I know.
But like I in know. The moment that wasn't, it was just Michelle and I dancing around, not two 35-year-old women. Like, why does that sound worse? It shouldn't. 35 is a great number.
We love but who agree, we are.
We're not 22.
We're definitely not 22, nor are we 45. Like, we're going to just be who we are.
We were just trying to set the tone and the vibe. We were just getting loose, you know?
Exactly. And you know what? You got to stretch and dance to get loose.
Yeah, exactly. How else?
Oh, man. But can't wait for all of these drops to come. Exciting stuff for us. And we're always anchored in our why. And that's the beauty of us. Mm-hmm. And that was our weekend.
It was amazing.
It was great. It was so, so great. And what are we taking on today, Melissa Rose?
Oh, my God. Thank God we're taking on morning routines because this girly needs a train up.
Listen, what did I tell you over the weekend? The only constant when it comes to routines is the fact that it changes.
I know.
That's it. And that's the hardest part about it because it requires an immense amount of flexibility.
Exactly. And no, it's hard. It's really hard. And this actually came at the perfect time. It came in a few times as a request for future episodes. And I literally think I asked if we could bump this up because I need to talk about it and more particularly learn about it. So
it's always pertinent. Like you get into a routine, whether it's new or good or, you know, needing a refresh, and then it feels right. And then before you know it, changes up again. Yep. So it's evergreen. To talk sure about is. These things.
And sure.
My new favorite concept that Mel brought to my ascension. Evergreen.
Evergreen. I love it. But
I want to do two truths, no lies, quickity quick, so we can really get to our meat and potatoes.
Let's do it.
Okay. Do you want to go first?
Sure. I'll go first.
Great. Love it.
It's going to be really quick, and it's kind of like a stretch on a two truths, no lies, but like, follow me.
Okay. I'm here. Always.
My friend Jackie, her and I were brainstorming on something, and she put up on the board, essentially, what is it and what isn't it, as a way to bucket our brain dump. I really just love that language so much when we're trying to funnel into, like, where we land on something, especially with things that have like conflicting needs or things that maybe were being pulled in a few different directions and you kind of need to root, right?
Yeah.
As an example of that, we could talk about morning routines for a hot second, right? So as I'm a working parent, as I've talked about on here hundreds of times, and I would love to honestly go back and kind of listen to my own progression. I don't even want to call it progression, but like
Evolution.
Great. Thank you. Over the last year of like my stance as being a working parent, and I think it's like evolved from, well, because I'm not with her very often, I want to be extremely present and like extremely flexible and extremely not rigid and routine oriented when I'm around her because, you know, we should be having joyful moments together, right? And as time has gone on, I've realized while she's always had a routine, it's quite necessary to actually establish that regardless of if you want the moments to be filled with joy, they still can be. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you do need to be that sturdy leader, or most times really. And sometimes that will mean having to set a firm boundary and not give on things, even if it's hard to do that. And when trying to establish, you know, some more morning routines, which we'll get into in rituals for my daughter recently, even just applying the what is it and what isn't it is really helpful in just like decision treeing, if that makes sense. And I guess where the two truths and lies comes in is you can have an overall goal of something big picture, beautiful, joyful, wanting your child to look back on these memories or these times of their life and thinking, wow, my mom was able to really just be in the moment and play music and dance with me in the kitchen. And you can also decision tree that down to, but what isn't this right now, right? And right now, this isn't the time that we're going to be dancing in the kitchen because we do need to get out the door.
Yep.
And we do need to keep you on a routine and a schedule so you have expectations for what's going to happen every morning. So,
literally life. Like, literally. That's life.
Truly. Truly. So, again, like, it's not very, like, concrete if-then type situation of two truths and a lies, but that is what I was, like, sitting on this morning and kind of spoke to me.
And so pertinent when we talk about morning routines. And every routine or every chapter of a routine, especially one like the morning or bedtime that happens every single friggin' day, mm-hmm. it's not always going to have a happy ending. Mm-hmm. And that mimics life, too. Like,
yeah, exactly.
It just doesn't really work out like that, even though I think in our brains we're programmed to, like, yearn for that. Mm-hmm. But both exist. So that's also a two truths, no lies in and of itself.
Exactly.
So thanks for shedding such beautiful light on that today.
And thank you for closing it up with a legitimate two truths, no lies.
We're teamwork. Teamwork always. I had so many two truths, no lies that have surfaced in the past, I would even say like 24 hours, to be honest. One of them I'm going to save. I think I'm going to go with my broken record rebrand today for two truths, no lies. I've actually been saving this one, but it's perfect for a morning routine. So I'm bringing a little rebrand to the phrase or concept broken record. Mm-hmm. So when you hear someone's like, oh, I hate to be a broken record. Like, do you often find that that's usually rooted in, like, a negative connotation?
Yeah, especially I use it all the time because I am a broken record a lot.
I also think, though, with us, our, like, just to get very meta, like, mm-hmm. the ethos of us always saying, like, I know we've said this before. That's our empath in us to make sure that people know that we're not being, like, too repetitive. Like,
we know you might
have heard it already. We see you. If you know, right? Like, but this is different. I think a rebrand of when someone has a negative connotation of being a broken record, I think we really need to think about why it's important to repeat things because it usually doesn't stick the first time. Mm-hmm. Humans need repetition, whether you're in a routine or you're saying something to a partner or whatever it might be to learn something new, you need to hear things multiple times. You need to be a broken record. Mm-hmm. So I provide you a little broken record rebrand. You're actually just an evolved CD instead of feeling so negative about a broken record. So yes, one truth, it's okay to be a broken record, but a little reframe on that, you can also just feel like an evolved CD of needing to repeat yourself a couple of times to yourself or to whomever it might be in front of you.
I love that. I even taking it one step further, like a album or a record that
record.
Like is really impactful and really powerful and really means something to you. You play it over and over and over again because it continues to land. And sometimes you get different messages when you listen to it the third or 10th or 20th time over. Yes. Think about TTPD.
Literally, you know? That's where my brain went. I'm like, that time I heard Lunar Valleys in my mind, I was like, repeat, love that, got to go back.
Right?
Like, right? Yes. So let's like give this not it. I'm not putting sunshine and rainbows on it because having to repeat yourself can also be very hard. Like, I'm not negating that. It can feel hard and be frustrating. 100%. But there's purpose and meaning to being an evolved record or an evolved CD of needing to utilize some repetition.
I love that. Perfect. Beautifully said.
And a segue into routines because we can't talk about routines without talking about everything that happens in the buildup to it becoming a routine. And that happens over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm. It sure does.
And with mornings, Melissa, as we've talked about offline, they are so, so hard sometimes.
So hard.
I don't know a single person who would say like, yep, totally nailed it. Every single day, there are no bumps. There's always going to be some tension at some point. Mm-hmm. Right?
100%. Even for the best days, the feeling that you get on a day when you're in that like motherhood flow or that parenting flow of like just feeling like everything is clicking, everything's going, you're vibing, like you just feel like besties just like moving through the day.
Yes.
And for those mornings, you're like, I figured it out. Like
I got
it. We got it.
Like unlocked the code.
it doesn't matter how many times you're then humbled within minutes, hours, days of that. When you feel that, you don't think you're ever going to come down from it. You really
it's
don't.
Euphoric. It's absolutely euphoric. Yeah.
It's like I've figured out the key to success, and we will remain here until the end of time.
And then you're quickly humbled and sobered that the next morning when you do the same exact thing, it can be a complete shit show. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's children for you.
Like that's what happens when you procreate another human and, you know, not a robot.
Exactly. And that's an important reminder. These aren't robots we're talking about. We're not robots, right? So we should expect the same for us, which is actually a really good, important point that I want to double click onto before we kind of dive deep. The importance of having our children see us as humans who have items, big and small, on our own responsibility landscape at all times of the day, but specifically today, we're zooming in on the morning, is so insanely important. We're not just like gallivanting around the house. Like we have to get dressed. We have to put on look presentable if I have a Zoom call right after drop off. Like there are big things on our responsibility landscape. And I feel very strongly that our kids see that too.
Can you tell me more about how you personally as a parent differentiate from the things you're going to accomplish before they see you? Like as someone who I presume does everything humanly possible prior to your kids waking up, what are the things that you make an active choice to let them see you do?
Yes.
Yeah. Versus make your life easier almost. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Love that. Yeah. And I think this will be a natural dovetail into our spotlight chair. I kind of have a few different pathways of a morning routine. And I really do try to meet myself like where I am. The two non-negotiables for me of things that I have to do before the kids wake up are put on my makeup and get dressed. I find that everything else is very helpful to get done, and we can dive deeper into that in a second. But I tell my kids, like, on the weekday, I am going to always be dressed in my daytime clothes and ready for the day before you wake up. They know that I do that to the point where my four-year-old has noticed, like, on the one-off day where I, like, you know, overslept or needed a little bit more time, he's like, Mom, it's not the weekend. Like, you're in your robe still, right?
Yeah.
And that's also a point, like, I make it a very active choice that I'm telling them on the weekend, like, I'm going to stay in my PJs until, you know, 10 a.m., right? Mm-hmm. And we talked about that, too. When you're in the midst of cementing a routine, it is important to practice those things on the weekend, but then you can scaffold it back a little bit once you feel like you're in a good spot and be a little bit more lenient mm-hmm. on the weekend. So those are two things for me that I are like non-negotiables. I want to do them myself without having to kind of balance and put out any fires.
There are things that are arguably, from a space standpoint, knowing, you know, the landscape of your home, you would have to remove yourself from the zone of getting the kids ready and out the door to accomplish those things, which would throw things off. And also, like, it's nice to be able to do that privately and like just have a moment to get yourself ready.
Right. Instead of like having a little one like on my leg saying like uppy up 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 up, like as I'm putting mascara on or doing my hair, like it takes me 5 minutes. I'm not doing a full face of you know, makeup. I'm just like a little bit. 5 minutes, and you know, that's important for me.
So do you want to go right? Should we go right into?
Yeah.
So why don't you kick off?
Because, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think again, like there is a part of me that I want to get back to one specific morning routine that I had really in like September and October. And it kind of fizzled out when our lives just, you know, became filled with sickness. Mm-hmm. I would wake up like 3 days a week at 6 a.m., do a 10-minute yoga stretch, drink a glass of lemon water, and it's only like an extra 15 minutes.
Right.
But doing that to before I then got dressed, did my makeup, would be amazing. So I hope to get there soon. That's also just like humble, vulnerable moment if your routine in the morning doesn't look like what you want it to, like give yourself a little bit of grace.
Yeah.
You can always get back there. So right now where I am, like I try to wake up at least 30 minutes before the children wake up. Mm-hmm. And I will get dressed, do my makeup, as I said before. I'll go downstairs and I'll prep at least like the parts of the breakfast that I know aren't going to cause a meltdown if I put the wrong thing on the plate. The strawberries, the blueberries, the banana, whatever it might be. I will prep that ahead of time. I'll start the coffee. And then usually by then, like, we're ready to wake someone up.
Yeah.
That's granted. They didn't wake up earlier than they usually do. And, you know, that's the typical track. I think one piece of this, and I want to then punt it to you and hear your thoughts on all that, and also like your little spotlight chair pre-wake up if you have one. Not everyone, like just a quick acknowledgement that everyone is so different and that might not work for you. You might hear like, oh, I'm doing things before the kids wake up. No, like whatever you need, meet yourself where you are always. But the way that I look at it is it's a gift to my future self to actually have my routine start at night. Even if it's just 10 minutes, because that mitigates this feeling of feeling rushed and overwhelmed and stressed. And like those are the concepts that I really try to have kind of propel me through my routine.
I think that's a great acknowledgement because, again, not only does everyone have different systems in their house, different dynamics they're moving around, single parent households, whatever it might be, commute, mm-hmm. like maybe you're not waking up with your children. Maybe your morning routine is just you. There's so many things we're going to be considering here.
Right.
One actual part of this that we're not going to dive down, but maybe can in another episode is like your sleep chronotype. A lot of people think you can hack to become a morning person. The science actually suggests that what type of sleep chronotype you are, right?
Yeah, so good call out.
Being a morning person is just genetically not everyone's thing.
yeah
and so it's important to recognize, again, meeting yourself where you are and understanding that, like, for me, I have every best intention to do that prep, like you said, the night before.
Yeah,
I love nothing more when I have the space and the bandwidth to accomplish that, and most nights I do. It looks different in terms of like the specific things that I do to prep for the next morning.
Yeah.
But I know what they are in my head, right? And I know when I'm going to sleep whether or not I've accomplished that perfect picture. But the way that I am set up, I am a morning person. Mm-hmm. I am fully a morning person. It's where all my energy is. By the end of the day, it is really hard for my brain to be like focused and intentional and detail oriented. That like really diminishes as the day goes on. So you know, depending where we are, it can be harder for me to really have it be the perfect picture before bed. So for me,
the just right picture
for me. So for me, that waking up early in the morning is really, really key, and I can do that. And to your point before, in terms of like, you know, being vulnerable about like where you are, where you'd like to be, rather than kind of beating yourself up about like, I really wish I was X place, but that seems like such a gap from where I am currently and being defeated by that. I really went into this new year knowing that while I'm a morning person, I haven't been setting myself up for success with mornings. I've been staying up too late. Last year, like my sleeping just got completely derailed. So I set intentions of like little increments of I know where I want to get to, but like, let's just first focus on waking up 15 minutes earlier than I am now.
Amazing.
And now, mid-February, I'm waking up pretty much where I want to be, which is a full 90 minutes before where I was at the end of last year. So that in and of itself, just waking up earlier is such such growth for me.
Yes.
Then it's like I now am starting to feel like I think I could carve out time to work out now because I think – I could probably do another 10 minutes earlier. And Mike and I have been having conversations about that recently. So just double clicking on really meeting yourself where you are and not feeling like, oh my God, I need to do all these things right now, just like this person does. I think the get ready with me morning routines that we see that I've talked about on the pod before, like it can be aspirational. Take the things that you resonate with and try and see them as SMART goals and not like, oh, I wish I could do that, but there's just absolutely no way.
Exactly. Yeah. The goal of this exciting conversation is to really reflect. You could reflect as far back as pre-kids. What did your morning routine look like? And what did you like about it versus what did you want to change? And how you can kind of forecast forward and think about your present and what are some things you want to change and what are some things that are going well? And as you said, like small stepping stones to get there. You're not going to set your alarm for 90 minutes before when you usually would wake up. The 15-minute increment is a beautiful way, as we say in the education world, to scaffold the experience. Mm-hmm. And then you know when it's right to take the scaffolding away.
Yeah.
Love great. It. Love it. Do you want to give a little bit more detail, like zoom in specifically about like the progression or the sequence of your morning pre-wake up?
Sure. So
pre-baby wake up.
Before the baby wakes
up. Before the baby wakes
up. Yeah. Similar to you, the setup for the night before is always, of course, making sure, you know, dishwasher is on, everything's set, full, like deep clean of the kitchen. Everything is ready to go. Labels for the school lunches the next day.
Do you pack your school lunch then?
No, because and it's funny because I know you do that.
I do.
And I've thought about it. So I've actually thought about getting a separate like bento box for her so that I could do that. But with our evening schedule and as I talked about time that she goes to sleep, time that my husband and I eat dinner, by the time I'm unpacking that bag and cleaning it, it would then create one more hurdle that honestly I know I would end up procrastinating on. I'd rather just clean it and put it air dried, and it takes all of 10 minutes to do in the morning.
Yeah.
I kind of like that routine. And on the mornings that Mike does it, because we should talk about like responsibility sharing.
Yep.
Which I think we'll get to. We both don't mind doing it. Like it's not a battle for either of us. It's more like once you're down there, it's just this is the routine.
Exactly. Exactly. That's great. And that is also a concrete example of like the differences between us and how someone listening might be like, yep, I want to do it the night before. And I make that visible to the kids. Like this is on my responsibility landscape until you can make your own lunch. I like to do it the night before so I'm not as stressed and overwhelmed in the morning. Whereas it's perfect for you and your flow to do it in the morning and to make that also very clear to your daughter of like, this is on your responsibility landscape right now until they can do it themselves.
Exactly. And also key differentiator, you're up 30 minutes before your kids. I'm up 90 minutes.
Yep. Yep.
Right. So it makes sense, right? Yep. Like, yeah, I have a whole extra hour. So I make that while my hot water is heating up. Before I go downstairs, I'm always like brushing my teeth, washing my face, but I usually go down like in my comfies, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like halfway there. I'm getting my hot water ready. I'm kind of, you know, doing my stuff in conjunction with hers at the same time.
Great.
I'm usually listening to a podcast or, you know, just doing some things that are just like starting my day off, right? It's in the morning, I feel most inspired. I feel most creative and energized. So I think having that time to be with my thoughts and really like cultivate what I want, what my intentions are for the day and everything like that. I'm not in a space in my life right now where I'm like meditating on that in the morning, but what I am doing is sitting in my dimly lit kitchen with a very light morning sun coming in and thinking about these things while I'm moving through the routine.
Beautiful gift to future self that you're able to carve out that day, which is amazing.
100%. And I'm getting everything packed up. It's all good to go for my daughter. Sometimes I'll even just like move it into the garage so it's already there for when we're walking out, or sometimes just sits on the chair. I feed the dogs. I get them all set because then it's not going to derail my daughter when she wants to help feed them as she does on the weekends.
So cute.
And I get her breakfast all ready and good to go. I no longer can put it on the counter anymore because one of my dogs has started to decide, you know, 7 or 8 years into his life, he wants to counter surf now. So now all food has to be like off counters, or like I'll put them like in the microwave or in the toaster, or like he can't reach anything when I leave, which is yet another mental gymnastics that I have to go through.
Responsibility landscape circle with your doggies.
Yeah. So I get everything ready for her. And to your point, it is like go time.
Yeah.
Then I'm going upstairs. I'm doing my quick face and getting dressed. And I have everything set to go
by
the time I'm walking into her bedroom getting her. So my only responsibility for the next hopefully 40 minutes, maybe sometimes it's an hour and 15, is helping her to stick to her morning routine.
Yes.
And getting her ready for the morning.
Exactly. And I find that just comparing it to the times where, again, overslept or just like listened to my body and I'm like, you know what, we'll just do this in real time. Mm-hmm. I feel so frazzled and overwhelmed. And I find that the kids almost inherit that too in a way. So it feels like I'm able to set them more up for success when I am showing up as my best self. And again, this is not to spiral. I'm just talking from self here. Like mm-hmm. to be able to do that before they wake up allows us all to show up with more compassion and patience and understanding for each other.
Thank you for sharing that because I think it's so incredibly important and I couldn't relate more to that. As I'm sitting here talking about the perfect version of my morning routine for me, it's also like very important. I call out that this is something I've been trying to cement very rigidly over the last like week and a half.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because mine completely spiraled to a place of like, again, it was very rooted in what time I was waking up and not feeling prepared. And it was my frazzled, chaotic, disorganized self was then resulting in a disorganized routine for my daughter, who's at such a transformative age when it comes to needing that routine. And it was just, it was completely spiraling. So yeah. Again, like I haven't been doing all this, but all of the things I'm doing now, I've always known I needed to do, right? Like it's not like this was revolutionary in the last week. It was like, Melissa, you need to give your future self a gift and you really need to commit to this for both yourself and your daughter.
Yes, exactly. And it becomes an active think about for it to become an active choice that mm-hmm. I or we are sharing our calm with the situation as opposed to sharing our chaos.
Exactly.
And that is like a huge think about mantra that sits underneath all of this.
Can you say that one more time? Because I think that's really powerful.
Yeah. I always think about like, am I sharing my calm, not my chaos?
Perfect.
I want to share my calm.
And going back to the earlier version of myself, of motherhood and parenthood, I didn't feel an in-between of those two things. So I felt like I always had to lean towards the calm, which meant surrendering any and the reality is that actually just pendulums you back to the chaos side.
Totally.
And I think by the end of last year, I was so burnt out in all domains of my life that I was just like in a pure state of disassociation.
Totally.
And just like, all right, we'll get to school and we'll get to school. Yeah. It doesn't really matter. Like, at least I'm not freaking out. Like,
yeah. Right, right. But there's a way to make it a little bit easier and more seamless of a path to get there. Mm-hmm. And I think like that also sits under responsibility landscapes too, which is actually a really good segue. I just actually thought of an anecdote that surfaced this morning. My kiddies, they love to read books, like, which is amazing. And there's a time and a place to read. And then there's a time and a place to not read. And this morning, I used yesterday morning as an example to not prep breakfast today because no one wanted what I put out. And it was just like a waste of time and food that I had prepped for them that they didn't want. So breakfast wasn't prepped. My son wanted to read the 5-minute Spider-Man book, or 5-minute story is that it's a long haul. A 5-minute Spider-Man story is like a 10-minute story when I read it too. So I was so rooted in the Dr. Becky language of jobs, like the role of jobs. So answering your question before about like what I'm making visible to them as it relates to what's on my responsibility landscape, but also then just like a helpful hack to stay rooted once the kids are awake is to use that language of jobs. I said to him, I want to read to you right now, but my job right now is to make you breakfast so you can eat and have a great day. And your job right now is to tell me what you would like to eat for breakfast so we can continue on with the momentum. So I didn't, and then I think I gave like, if you eat your breakfast, then I'll be able to read you the book. That if then language is also really helpful. But that was just such like a concrete, you know, percolation of events, even when you feel like, okay, I kind of have the routine down pat, there's still, you know, live things that surface that I love that language of staying rooted in the role of your jobs.
Because it's so applicable on both sides too, right? And it also creates this like level playing field of like, we both have jobs here. Like,
yeah,
we're not, I'm not just sitting here telling you what to do and for the purpose of telling you what to do. And then you have a power struggle, right?
Like, exactly.
We both have jobs here. It's like coming back to the aligning of the to-do lists.
Yep. Yep.
This is his to-do list right now. This is your to-do list like right now. Let's align here.
Yep. Yep.
Right? We both have jobs.
Yes.
So I think that's incredibly important. You shared that with me last week and I've been using that consistently. We have started to implement a few different rituals and routines for my daughter. We're using like a routine chart for her because it really, the wheels had fully fallen off the cart, like fully, and making things visible and vulnerable moment. There was this point, I want to say last week or the week before, where like we're coming off, it must have been last week, coming off being sick and just, it was over simulation station. And my husband and I were just both like sitting in her room trying to get her, because it's not just morning, it's pretty much all transitions right now for us. Yeah. But this particular instance was at night. And we're just like sitting in her room and it's the procrastination, the delaying, the movie, like not moving through the nighttime routine. And I just felt like we were just like helpless. Like we were just, the two adults and parents in the room are just sitting there like not knowing how to redirect our daughter. And yeah. I was like, this is crazy. Like I left the room feeling so frustrated with like our ability to be aligned in that moment and know what to do. And then the reframe came and the kind of the enlightening to like reach out to you, some of my other mom friends, was like, wait a second. This feels hard because I haven't been here before.
Yeah.
And when you're going through these transitions earlier on when they're little, they happen so frequently that your brain is wired to know to access resources because, oh, this is new. It's a sleep regression. Oh, we haven't done solids yet. Oh, we're switching to formula, whatever it is, like, you know, you need to access resources, you need to access help because you haven't been here before.
Yep.
But as they get older, the time between those transitions gets bigger and bigger and bigger, which is beautiful. Parenthood flow, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when they do come, it kind of shocks you and you aren't so quick, at least in my experience, to be like, I need to access support here.
Yeah.
You just think of it as like, oh, it's a tough day, it's a tough day, it's a tough day. But then all of a sudden it's been a tough month.
Yep.
And yep. I'm like, why am I so edgy? Why am I flipping out? Why can I not like control my emotions right now? And it's like, oh, because like you literally have no idea what you're doing.
No, it's and hard. It's hard.
Yes. And I'm like, oh, like she's a toddler and I'm trying to implement a routine for a baby. And like, she's not a baby anymore. So finding that space to be like, oh, I got to go back to novice. Like I got to go back to learning mode. And then it gave my husband and I an opportunity to sit down and say, okay, can we align on what language we're using? Can we align on what interventions we're doing?
Yeah.
Like, and then once we had that, it was like, okay, still hard as hell.
Yeah, right, right.
Every day it's getting 2% better, but at least I have a plan.
Yes.
And then I can sit there and like debrief afterwards with myself of like, okay, that part went well today. This part's still tricky.
Right.
And
right.
So on and so forth. So.
And I'm so glad you brought that up. Thank you for sharing the vulnerable moment, because sometimes you do need that experience of like being on the floor feeling so defeated. Like something is not working, and sticking to the facts of this isn't just a one-off or, you know, a week. Like this is longer than that. And that's usually your clue that something needs to change, whether it's an environmental change or an intervention that you're bringing extrinsically, like a checklist or a routine chart or something like that, just to provide some structure. And sometimes that's really all that you need. But again, the only constant that we can rely on is the fact that it's going to change, because that's developmental.
Exactly. And just reminding yourself of that again, when it's been a minute, not really a minute, for literal Michelle. Yes. But it's been a minute and you're like, why is this feels like it shouldn't be this hard.
Yeah.
Then click in and maybe it's because I need to access something else here.
Exactly.
So what are some of your other things? I know you talked about using the role of jobs and things like that. What other hacks do you have here?
Yeah, we'll dive deeper into the helpful hacks of when the kitties are kind of moving through the routine. So I really like to use timers, as everybody knows, and as you know, death by Google timer, as Ryan likes to say. But I also really like to use music. So we have like a specific song to get our shoes on, or a specific song to get dressed, like Send Me On My Way. Is like when it goes on, that's the cue. Head into the mudroom, get your shoes on, backpack, like it's go time. So love any that. Type of levity that music can also provide anchors me. So I feel like I'm always looking like, okay, what's going to make me sturdier? And how is that also going to help the flow and the routine? So music is a great way to accomplish that, in my opinion.
Always. And once again, sometimes you forget. And when you go back to the basics of what's worked, I always have music playing all the time. And I've realized recently I really haven't been leaning on it as much.
Yeah.
And when we were at your house this weekend and they were doing their, you know, zoomies around the kitchen, intentional yep. zoomies.
Intentional zoomies.
After dinner time before going up, and you had your specific music and everything, I was like, first of all, just seeing the absolute joy on their faces, including my daughters. And I forgot, like, we used to have a song before yes. we went up to bed, or yes. a song before we left the house. Like, and I don't know when it stopped, but we stopped doing it. And then last night, before we went upstairs and we were trying to move things earlier, so it was a really good transition to do that. We didn't have the same island thing, but we have our coffee table. So it's kind of the same thing. And Mike and I and my daughter are running around to the clap song, which you know is dog days are over. And she was just elated.
Oh,
like, just,
I love
this
it.
Is so fun. And we're running around, just like we were doing at your house. And then it was like, she stopped. She's like, bath. And we went up. And
yes,
it's like sometimes it's so hard. And sometimes it's also like so simple.
Yes. Yes. That's what makes it so hard, that you're like, what? Are you kidding me? That's all it took to like ignite the next step of the routine, which is often the hardest, going from, you know, ending fun time to going to the meat and potatoes of what actually needs to get done before you go to bed. So I'm so glad that it was so successful. Mm-hmm. That's great. And my oldest, just quick sidebar, was doing your dance move yesterday. He's like, I learned this from Melissa.
Was it like the letting it build?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's like on his tippy toes, like bouncing his hands up and down, like getting low. It was so adorable. So
adorable.
Cute.
So, and so much fun.
Thank you
them.
For that. But yeah, music goes such a long way, and it is easy to forget. So this is our plug for us to not forget, mm-hmm. in hopes that it'll also inspire someone else during a hard time. Like, let's try this.
Yeah.
Let's try this and see how it goes. Another good one that I find to be really helpful in the morning, even if it's just 5 or 10 minutes, is to be very intentional about the free, unstructured play time that the kids have after breakfast before getting dressed. So our routine is like, we call it kitchen bed, which is our bench that is around the table. We have breakfast. We take care of that. And then I always like to make sure that they have a little bit of time, whether they're playing in the playroom or playing in the basement, before it's get dressed time. Mm-hmm. And that for me is important for them to see, like, we're going to have a little bit of fun. We're going to be able to, you know, do all of this. And I have to define that. But also I'm going to have to set the boundary when playtime is over, because we have a job to do, and that's to get dressed and to get ready for the day for school.
Did you always do that? Because I'm thinking, like, my daughter would love that, right? Mm-hmm. But that's actually what we're trying to move away from right now, because our inability to transition from the playtime back to the job was really, really difficult.
Yeah.
So I had to eliminate that, and she gets a little bit of flippy time during breakfast, and that also helps me to like allow to do her hair, because she's sitting in one spot and whatnot. So like, to be fair, like, she's getting something, right?
Yeah. Yep.
But as you're saying that, like, I would love for her to get that back. Do you think that's like an example of that scaffolding, or it's kind of like, I get even nervous thinking about it, like, once we've nailed this down, you know?
I think right now, again, like, meet her where she is, meet you where you are. Like, it's working. So until it shows you that it's not, keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
She might also say, I'm trying to remember. I think it came from them just saying, like, I want to play in the basement. Yeah. I want to do that before school. And I get it. Like, they're not going to see the basement until way later, right? Mm-hmm. That's a forever time for them. Mm-hmm. Like, they can't really see that so far into the future. So I totally understand that. I again, meet them where they are.
Yeah.
I do think one piece of this that we had to kind of work around is another transition of getting dressed. So right now, what's working for us, that could change in a couple of weeks. Instead of transitioning like back upstairs to get dressed and then back downstairs to continue on in whatever next part of the routine, this is gift to future self. At night, they pick out their clothes. I do that. So like, again, I've always done that since I was a kid. So I'm just kind of projecting onto them what I'm doing until they tell me it doesn't work for them. But we pick out our clothes the night before. I already bring them downstairs into the basement. Yeah. So they're playing. Then we sandwich it. We get dressed 5 minutes into playing. And then they usually have like 5 minutes after they get dressed to continue playing. And then the song goes on. Time to go upstairs and get our shoes on.
Like getting even more concrete with you.
Yeah.
And important to make this visible. So with your children, what is the likelihood that 5 minute timer goes off to change?
Yeah.
And they, one or both, are not responding to that transition. What do you implement at that point?
Yes.
Because that's something I have a hard time with in like setting an expectation, saying we're going to get to do this, but then also at the same time, like how do you navigate that?
Yeah. So it happens all the time, especially with my older one when he's like immersed in his Paw Patrol Spider-Man universe. This is where I lean on two very helpful language strategies of the if-then and the role of jobs. So concrete example, I would say, if you don't get dressed right now, then you are not going to have time to play. It is your job to get dressed if you want 5 more minutes of play.
Got it.
And I leave it at that. And that usually does the trick. If it doesn't, I wait, because it takes time for children and humans to process language. So I always wait, which is a great acronym for why am I talking? Wait. I literally will count to 15 or 20 in my head before I then say, this is your second reminder. If you get dressed now, then you will have more playtime. If you don't, then you won't. And usually that's all it takes.
Got it.
But I'm firm.
Firm. Okay. And in the event that transition takes 5 minutes,
that's your time.
Then didn't happen, that's your time. And then we just have to move through that meltdown.
Exactly.
Afterwards.
And there's going to be a meltdown and there's going to be tears. And, you know, I'm really trying not to like project the rational thinking of, well, that's why. I try to wait until after the moment, strike when the iron isn't so hot. Like, oh, right. that really stunk. You wanted the playtime. I'm wondering if there's a way for you to have had that 5 minutes of playtime. And you're just like, oh, well, I could have gotten dressed earlier. Yes.
Right.
Tomorrow's another chance. The good news is we get to practice this every single day until it feels good for us.
Oh, that's beautiful. That made me emotional kind of. Yeah. No, because I'm so glad we watched through that, because like that's the part that like is so hard for me. And like it's also – the language of comprehension of a 2-year-old is different than a 4-year-old, right?
Totally.
And like, so I won't know until I know like what my daughter can actually comprehend and respond to. So at this point, I'm just like, we're doing the best we can. And I'm using a lot of the language that like you're teaching me or my friends are teaching me in hopes that it works. But at the very least, even if it is a little bit, I don't think I can meet her anymore where she is as a 2-year-old. So if at all, I'm just setting a foundation for when she can.
Exactly.
It's the language she's been hearing the whole time.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the beautiful of her having you as a mom to model all of that and give her those opportunities, because you're joining her on the process just as much as she's joining you in the process too. And I do think there's such value in striking when the iron isn't so hot, especially when things need to shift or when there needs to be a change. So you might find in 6 months when she's 2.5, like things might need to shift up a little bit, and developmentally, she's going to be able to join you in the creation of that process more.
Totally. I love that.
The only constant is change when it comes to these routines. Mm-hmm. It just is.
I know we're pretty much out on time right now. So is there anything quickly that we can also get from your beautiful brain before
I appreciate you. Our beautiful brains. Our beautiful bestie brains. We have synapse. I have a synapse that's directly connected to yours, which is so amazing. They should really do a study on us or something.
Me too.
I love it. I love it.
So good.
Okay. So a couple of last things. Big concept of levity just going a long way. Ryan really helps me stay grounded in all of this. If I'm being like too structured, like his funny, uplifting self, he'll like put on a crazy song if people are melting down or just, you know, like add. It's hard for me to access in those moments, but I lean on him to remind me how important that is. So let's like not take ourselves so seriously, especially when there's some turbulent waters. So I appreciate all of the levity. And then I think just like granularly, just double clicking on what you mentioned that you've implemented with your daughter is the use of a checklist or a social story or making it really concrete to them. So if you are thinking about making a checklist for your little one who is having a issue kind of getting through one task to another, a way to involve them in that and striking when the iron isn't so hot is actually taking pictures of them doing it and having that be on the list. So like breakfast at 6 p.m., like a fun activity, you know what? We're going to make a routine with a picture of you instead of something from clip art. So go sit in your chair, pretend you're eating breakfast. I'm going to take a picture. And that is what's on their routine because they're actually seeing themselves completing the task.
I absolutely love that idea. It's a convergence of my friend Kristen. She provided me like the most incredible email. And she's an occupational therapist, which she gave me all these amazing resources last week when I reached out in an SOS moment. And she mentioned the social stories in regards to like prepping. I think it was like, we're going to do a sleepover and like truly just making out of Word documents, like a little story to read to them with pictures of themselves and where they're going to be. And then also the routine chart, this is bringing those two things together.
Yes.
And I absolutely love that. And I know for a fact, my selfie queen of a daughter will love doing that. Yeah. She'll love it.
It's so fun. They love it. Actually, it's a great connection to being an evolved CD instead of a broken record because a social story and a checklist, again, is just reminding you over and over and over again, no matter how many days you've done this for, of what you need to do. And it's okay to need the reminders and the repetition.
Period.
Did we take on morning routines? I kind of blacked out a little bit.
We so, so did. That was amazing. I love your mantra, think about, of share my calm, not my chaos.
Yes.
I think it's incredible. And it's also like, it's just very leveling of, you know, we're going to be both two truths, no lies.
So we
like,
are.
Just.
We are.
But let's have that. Let's share in that moment and accessing that, especially when we need it.
Yes. And we know what it feels like to be on the receiving end of someone's chaos.
Yeah.
And acknowledging we're going to be and we're going to be the givers. Mm-hmm. And how can we share our calm a little bit more than our chaos?
I love that.
It's good stuff.
Thank you so much for downloading your brain to me. I feel so lucky to have you as a resource in my back pocket. I sent you a 7-minute voice note earlier on another thing I'm trying to work out with her. And I can't wait to get your feedback.
I can't wait to listen. I'm so sorry I didn't yet.
Oh my God, stop. Wait. No, I literally said in it and I sent a text note afterward. This is not pertinent, not related to anything and not urgent. I just like a brain dump.
The worst texter in the world.
No, stop. I literally gave the preface of like, do not, like this is not pertinent.
I love it. We live and breathe all of our MTake tenants, by the way, for your listeners.
If you can, feel free to do.
If I can, I will. And when I can, I'm excited.
Great. Fabulous. It's going to be weeks from now. It's not pertinent. But
this is so – I love our space.
Me
I
too.
Love it. I just love it.
Me too. Well, you guys all know where to find us at the MTake Podcast on Instagram. Please reach out and let us know what you're taking on and how we can help to take it on for you. Whether it's morning routines, evening routines, let us know.
let us know.
Anything in between, you know?
Everything. We love the in-betweens.
Love. We love it. We live in the gray.
The valleys, the gray. We befriend the gray.
We befriend it. It's tough. But ish. Now that I'm a little bit more type B, she's getting comfy in the gray.
We just need to become numb to the gray.
Yeah. And then no, that's what happened last year. We don't want to become numb to the gray.
No, we want to be like intentional with the gray.
Name to tame the gray.
Okay, I like that.
Name to tame the gray. Befriend her.
Befriend her or him.
Yeah. Exactly.
And give yourself a smooch.
Give yourself a goddamn smooch. All right. I love you so much.
Love you so much.
I'll talk to you later.
Toodles.
Love you. Bye.